hearings into the January 6 Capitol coup have given solid evidence for what we've long known. That former President Donald Trump knowingly and deliberately falsified election fraud claims in order to attempt to upset the balance of democracy, incite supporters, and make financial gains for himself. Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is freelance journalist and author Sean Britton. Find us each and every week wherever you find good podcasts, as well as on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. Ed, the January 6 hearings have been televised over this past week, looking at the claims around the January 6 attempted coup and Donald Trump's election fraud allegations. What have we learned?
Nothing. We knew all this beforehand by listening to commentators on radio and television. But now it's legitimately been investigated. We're hearing authorities report it. But it is good television. It's doing better than the National Basketball Championships in terms of ratings and viewers. I think there were some people who might have thought there was something in what Trump had to say and were actually rational. And now they are probably jumping off the ship, not abandoning Trump, but saying, look, if he did it and goes to trial and is convicted, we're not going to riot.
I mean, if we were to say, what did the president know and when did he know it? It seems Trump knew a hell of a lot. I don't think we're surprised to hear Trump knew the claims he was making were always false, that he knew what he was doing, stirring up the masses into insurrection on January 6th. But have you been surprised by some of the, what we've heard of some of the actions that were taking place around him at that time, Ed?
I'm surprised in two ways. One, there were enough credible people, including Fox people, who were telling him to stop it, and his own family members. And two, he obviously had anticipated that this ruckus would make the vice president change his mind and the vote counting would stop. But interestingly enough, a member of Congress said, we are not going to leave here. An ex-Marine, I believe he's a Republican. We're not going to leave here because if we leave here, we're surrendering. And Pence said the same thing. When his driver came up, he says, I'm not leaving. So they all knew or suspected that had they left, the coup would have gone through.
One of the key questions coming out of these hearings is, will Trump be charged? And look, the hearings this week have also added another potential charge to the pile for Trump. Fundraising fraud. Trump raised $250 million for his official election defense fund on claims, again, he always knew were falsehoods. What do you reckon, Ed?
Those are two different charges. The one that's most important, of course, is the one that accuses him of sedition. And if he's accused of that and it holds, he cannot run for public office. But Georgia can do the same thing. So he's got a pincer going on. I think from his point of view, losing in court is not all that bad as long as he doesn't go to prison and he can maintain his stronghold over the party. But that's going to be pretty dicey if he does lose and gets everything taken away. So I think the worst is yet to come.
What about charges for others that were involved? I mean, one of the latest was we saw this Justice Department official, Jeffrey Clark, who it's claimed offered to send letters claiming significant concerns about election fraud to key states and the need that they would have to put in separate electors that Trump would pick. He offered to do that if Trump would name him Attorney General. You got Rudy Giuliani, who was apparently sort of drunkenly wandering around the Oval Office on the night of the election, telling Trump to simply claim victory and let the chips fall where they may. Will we see other arrests?
Yes, a whole lot. And way up the chain, including Giuliani. So nobody's going to get away with anything.
And we seem to see some already preemptively. Steve Bannon, obviously the former Trump advisor, saying that Republicans need to push to impeach Biden if some such as he are arrested and charged over these events.
Yeah, that'll be quite interesting. But in a sense, what will the Republicans do if they gain power in the House and the Senate? They certainly won't pass any bills because they have no agenda. They're not going to offer to give any more tax relief because that would be vetoed by the president. So they might just play fun and games in this way and have investigations going of Democratic judges and what have you for the next 2 years. That's quite possible. But remember, first of all, to issue a bill of impeachment, you have to have a real bill that would get past the courts. What has Biden done? They say they're going to use Hunter Biden. Well, Hunter Biden's not the president. The president's involvement with Hunter Biden probably preceded him becoming president. So that would go nowhere. But lastly, they have to convince the Democrats in the Senate. Because remember, it takes three quarters of them to make an impeachment stick. So I think those guys in the House who want to do something serious will say, leave this one alone.
Well, in spite of what is coming out in these hearings, Trump still hangs heavily over the Republican primaries in the lead up to the 2022 midterms. More than 100 GOP primary winners are still backing Trump's false fraud fraud claims. And Trump continues to back opponents of incumbent Republicans who have challenged those same claims, such as in South Carolina. Although I should point out the candidate he was backing in South Carolina, they've failed to come up against the incumbent there. Now, again, Republicans are now the party of Trump, and instead of going with the evidence, they're clearly still backing Trump's baseless claims that that there was election fraud involved, that the party
must be careful that position. Let's be careful here. These are people who want to get the government back to the days of slavery, to when white people were ruling. The Trump thing is a mask for that. So there, the issues of truth or not truth have nothing to do with this. What they want to do is have an internal revolution in the United States. And this is their vehicle for doing it. In a very short time, so-called minorities will outnumber the former majority groups in the United States. And that's what this is really all about. It has nothing to do with the right or wrong. Is it has to do with this innate fear of some kind of a South Africa emerging, which is hilarious. The most conservative people I know in terms of law and constitution are black. So I think this is the snake in its last gasp.
I don't see how the government continues to function, though, to be honest. Democrats, God knows, you know, I'm sure the vast majority of Dems in the House and in the Senate aren't angels either. But they're being forced to share a room and negotiate with these people who are standing there going, we'll put you up against the wall if it means securing power for ourselves. False claims...
That happened in the Civil War as well.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's going back to that. That's the deal.
getting away from the January 6 hearings, Ukraine fighting for the Donbas region has been particularly intense this week. This is one we've obviously discussed again and again of late, Ed, that this is particularly essential to the Russian war motives. Volodymyr Zelensky has conceded the Ukrainians have suffered devastating losses, and fighting particularly intense around the cities of Severodonetsk and Lysychansk. What's the latest, Ed?
I think it's pretty bad. And what we have to think about here is that they may win that part, and can we have a negotiation with them to bring this to an end? Much like Korea, where there's a dividing line, there's no truce in Korea. There's just a dividing line post-war that is still there. And I think that's the way this is going to end up, that both parties will agree. We'll stay on our side if you stay on your side. And I think they'll have some way of using that great harbor for both mutual benefit, and the Russians can have it. I think that's where we're going to be. But certainly Zelensky can't say that.
It's pretty hard to paint a line down the middle of a harbor.
But that harbor, there's the Mariupol side and the Crimean side. And the Crimean side is already really open water, and they could agree that continues.
Reportedly, though, the U.S., for all their influence on Ukraine in this conflict, they're not pushing for Ukraine to negotiate a ceasefire with the Russians. The Ukrainians, this is their soil. They're fighting for it. They're willing to fight for it. But do you find it unusual that the U.S. is not necessarily encouraging them to sue for peace?
I would say something about that, but the guys I used to work with would come after me. You don't
believe
know
it.
What's going on, my man. You don't know. It has to look the way it looks. But in the world I used to live in, what it looked like and what it was were different things.
I could absolutely believe that, mate. Look, another ongoing issue, gun control. And as we expected last week, the bill from Congress did not make it through the Senate intact. However, there was perhaps more voted for than expected. The Senate, including 10 Republicans, have passed support for tougher checks for buyers aged under 21 and cracking down on illegal gun purchases. They've also called for increased investment in mental health services, school safety resources, and stuff like domestic violence convictions, restraining orders being put in the national background check database. Now, this is all well and good, but it feels a bit like putting a band-aid on a bullet hole, if you'll pardon the expression, Ed, especially when the vast majority of guns, you know, we talk about in these shootings were legally acquired. They weren't illegal guns in the first place.
The Republicans were facing a dilemma here. If they stood in front of this, they would lose their own voters. So they had to do something, and they did as little as possible. And this is as little as possible. It will do almost nothing. Now, if you're asking for real mental health, you're going to have to start with the Republican Party and its leadership. Because they're the ones who really need some help. I think this was a way of making sure some close elections would be decided in their favor by a Republican, a former Republican, saying, well, I'll go back to the fold now we have gun control, because he can't face his neighbors without it. So it's a sop, as you've just pointed out, not a very serious one, but look, it'll keep us on the air.
It will indeed. And it may not be particularly PC to say so, but I think when it comes to mental health conditions, there are, unfortunately, some people beyond saving. And I think you might have just mentioned a few, Ed.
Well, I didn't name them all. So I think the United States has a problem bigger than you and I can solve. And this, again, this gun thing is a race thing.
Prices at the petrol pump have once again reached record-breaking heights for Americans, and hell, for us as well in Australia. These sudden jumps are absolutely brutal. Here we're meant to have the fuel excise working for us, Ed. What's being done over in the States for this one?
Several things. One, the president's gone to Saudi Arabia. Try to strike a deal there. And I think he will strike a deal there, which will relieve some of the pressure. But gasoline prices are real and not so real. You know, there's a portion of the gasoline price that's, what do you think it's going to be? That's what people make money on, the spot market. They don't make money on the actual amount of petrol that's out there and gas that's out there, because there's an awful lot of it out there. But the more panic they can get going, the higher the price goes. So we're seeing artificial shortages. I don't think these are real shortages. That's a personal opinion, but the people I know who are around the business say that, in fact, we have a surplus of fuel. It's just not at the price people want it at.
Now, as you mentioned there, Ed, Joe Biden is making a stopover. This has just sort of been announced that he's making a stopover in Saudi Arabia next month as part of this kind of Middle East tour. He's even going to be meeting with the Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. Now, the White House actually papered over the announcement of that one, although the Saudis were quick to crow about the meeting, very possibly, because it comes after Biden on the campaign trail in 2019 called Saudi Arabia a pariah and said that there was very little social redeeming value in the present government in Saudi Arabia. And that was, of course, following the brutal murder of journalist Jamal Khashoggi. Ed, what do you make of this? What do you make of this turnaround, this apparent turnaround?
I think this is, again, an issue where the United States and the beliefs of American presidents and others is set against the priorities of the world. And if we're going to back the Ukrainians, we've got to do things we don't want to do. I'm sure that President Roosevelt was not eager to meet with Stalin, but that was the price of the deal. And that's what we're looking at. Let's not be virtuous here. This is sheer power politics.
And just finally, the Supreme Court have ruled against immigrants in two cases involving immigration detention this week. Firstly, saying the law does not require a bond hearing after 6 months of detention for those who can show that they fear persecution if returned to their home countries. And in the second ruling, saying undocumented immigrants with similar cases cannot group these cases together but must pursue them individually. No sort of union action, such as it were. Supreme Court's going to be clearing the docket on a few other controversial ones in coming weeks. Any thoughts, Ed?
Well, the Supreme Court reads the newspaper. You know, people want this immigration wave to stop. The best way to stop it is to have people have good jobs at home. Nothing's going to stop it as long as drug jobs are the main jobs for people in Latin America. So until that stops, this is going to continue. And the United States will, like, what is Britain, Rwanda, they're sending their people to? Maybe the U.S. will send them to Australia. We need labor. So that's all it is. It's racism.
More hearings means plenty more to talk about next week. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss out. And check us out on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.